Okay, so hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. This is a special episode because we have a wonderful guest today. Our first guest, actually, as this podcast started and got this name, and I'm really excited so to introduce Deborah Kilby. Deborah is an intuitive energy healer, channel, spirit baby medium, soul plan reader, and spiritual guide. She's the author of Rosa's Choice, Healing the Wounds of the Mother, a journey into the world of the spirit baby and how we can build a new earth together. It's a wonderful book. Deborah supports women on their journey to motherhood, whether they're struggling to conceive, have experienced baby loss, or a traumatic birth. And she also supports women who are not in conception to heal their own mother wounds, understand themselves on a deeper level, birth more of themselves and their own truth by opening to their natural intuitive gifts. So we welcome Deborah. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. Such an important, beautiful podcast and work of discussion around the effects of this. So thank you.
Great. And yes, thanks for being here. I think we should start with speaking a little bit about your own journey and how you got to do the work that you're doing.
Okay, so a long story, but just in brief, I guess my own opening up to the mother energy and the mother wound was from my own journey to motherhood. So I've got two boys very much here, and I've got five babies in spirit. One from a termination from when I was younger, and then when I was choosing to be a mum, in a very beautiful relationship, I went through three miscarriages, and then I got pregnant again with Rosa. And she wasn't very well, so in the womb. So I had to then make that decision of, what's the quality of her life going to be? What's the quality of our life going to be? And I had to choose then to let her go, to release her, as she says. And that moment sort of really broke me, because I went into all that victim. I'm being punished because one of the previous termination, all manner of stuff that comes up from your own childhood. It just really brought up. It just took me to the absolute depths. But in that moment of in that sort of crisis moment, I remember sitting in the back garden one day, and just I had to come home from work. There was another pregnancy announcement, and I could feel a split second of happiness for this gorgeous woman, and then was immediately, well, what about me? And I had to leave work, so I went and sat in the back garden, and I was thinking, I'm not the woman who can't be happy for another woman. I'm not the woman who wants to spend the rest of her life feeling bitter. I'm not the woman who is this. And then this little voice in my head was saying, well, who is that woman who is not all of these big things? And then that took me off onto a massive journey of the mother, of the mother and of women. And of course, now, as you mentioned, I've written my book, which was started off with healing the wounds of the mother, as in becoming a mother and baby loss. And of course, extended then into the very deep, deep topic of what is the mother wound. So, that was kind of my journey in a nutshell there.
And so clear the way you explained everything. And that is why I decided to call you onto the podcast because we know each other a few years. We've done an episode before. I'm going to actually share the link to that as well because it was a beautiful episode years ago. But specifically to us, to our audience, to daughters of narcissistic mothers, we carry all those wounds. And I know that you can speak to the fact that mother wounds is like every woman has a degree of that within us, and it's not that it's unrelated from having or not having a narcissistic mother, and that goes back generations. And so I'd like first, before we dive into the more specific, to speak a little bit about that because that is an added stuff that we still carry anyways. So even before we get into this world, even before we come into contact with our mothers and the way they have their story, and I speak to that in the podcast, it's never to, you know, in my podcast, we're not attacking our mothers. We're just trying to understand. And so it's not blaming them about what they've been doing. They have a story, and their mothers have a story, and their mothers have stories. And all of that just goes on for generations. So, yeah, I'd love to hear your take on that. I need to speak to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if, you know, we're lucky enough to have this really beautiful relationship with our mother, we all hold an element of the mother wound. And as I was, you know, in the process of writing my book and looking up the mother wound and everything, it was so clear that, you know, this has gone on for absolute generations. And instead of the mother wound, because whenever I mention the mother wound, it's like it goes silent. No one wants to respond. No one wants to talk about it, because there's almost this, we're not blaming our mothers. That's absolutely not where we're at. But it's almost like we can't even face questioning that our mother was not this, you know, it's, you know, so I think instead of the mother wound, it should be called the patriarchal wound, because essentially it is from that moment where that imbalance of, you know, the masculine, and we all hold masculine and feminine, so this is not blaming men either, because men have also been affected by the patriarchal system. But it really, I feel, it goes right back to that patriarchal moment where that imbalance of the masculine energy was. And I see it as a fear of women, because we are supremely powerful creators. We all are. Every human is. Women are the creators. Women, physical women with, you know, and the physical wombs. We are birthing new life, whether we're mothers or not mothers. We are always birthing, always creating. We hold that womb energy. And how I see it is that it's more like a fear of the power of women, and the patriarchal system couldn't handle that. It was just this fear of losing control. And then when you've lost control, when you don't feel safe, when you're not in control, what do? You try and control. You try and control everything. And so it was this control over women. So this suppression, that we all hold this, we're less than kind of feeling, or we're not worthy, or we're not allowed. Our voices don't matter. There's a women's sacrifice for, you know, for the greater good. They sacrifice for their children. You know, there's this real energy around the sacrifice and sacrificing ourselves for the greater good. And I see it as women kind of compromised freedom and their voice for safety, because it didn't feel safe to speak out. It didn't feel safe to be in their power. We all know of the, you know, as they say, the witch hunts, or the women hunts, which men were also, you know, accused of. Those who were closest to the earth, the midwives, they were, you know, there was a great fear around women. And so that women's wound comes from all of these different areas. Like, it's not safe to speak out. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm not enough. There's something wrong with me. So we all hold elements of that, no matter what our experience of the woman. And this, you know, this anger and frustration that can come through, a lot of it comes out in kind of menopause or PMT as well. It's like this collective pain that we feel. We just think, like, where's that come from? This rage. And it's like this suppression energy of knowing we've been suppressed and knowing we haven't been allowed to do what we wanted, to be free, to go to university, to go to school, to, you know, to have a job, you know, because it used to be like, so my mum had, you know, gave up her job when she got married because it just wasn't the done thing. And she loved her work with the horses. And it's just really, you know, it's all of that. So it's not just about your relationship with your mother or your relationship with yourself as a mother. It goes way, way, way beyond that. So I, you know, I call it the patriarchal wound, because it's kind of digging into that. Where do I feel suppressed? Where do I not feel good enough? Where do I feel scared that I'm going to be attacked for being a woman? You know, it's all of those things, and it's very ancestral. We carry it collectively. We also carry it through our ancestral lines as well. So, you know, our role is really to understand that what we carry, or what we've, is not always ours, but we're here to heal it, and we can heal it. Just as we, you know, if our mothers or our grandmothers and our great grandmothers, they did their bit with healing that wound, or they weren't able to, for whatever reason, to take that on. But if you're listening to this, just so you know, you are able to heal from that mother wound. And imagine if there was no, if that wasn't a thing anymore. And as in my book, the one of the messages that came through, channeled messages from Rosa and the spirit babies, was imagine a world where there is no mother wound. That's freedom, you know, that's new earth, really.
Yes, I love that. It is, it's like you can feel it. Can you feel it? I know every woman listening can actually feel that when you say imagine a world without the mother wound. It's like there's like a weight just came away from my shoulders when you said that. And it feels like, whoa, yeah, I can breathe. My heart can open, you know, like I can expand my chest and just really be into myself and be myself. And what you mentioned about generation after generation from the patriarchy started, which is thousands of years ago. So it's like it's a long time that we're carrying this
a
burden
lot of yeah.
and these wounds. So you mentioned all of these not feeling safe. Like effectively, we've been trying to protect ourselves because if we spoke up, we were burned, or we were bet, or we were left. You know, women were just discarded. They couldn't bear children. They were speaking to them for themselves. They were not good anymore as wives. There's all of that that we're carrying into our system. So when we go back to our mother, our grandmother, our great grandmother lineage, they carried those wounds and they brought on the pattern. They kept the pattern going, the cycle, because each woman tries in whatever way they can to protect their children. Is that kind of cycle of trying, you haven't felt safe and you're trying to keep your children safe, but you do it as best as you can with the tools you have, which oftentimes result in a very traumatic experience for the child. And that's what has, I know I can see that when I look at my lineage, I look at my grandmother, my great grandmother was very narcissistic. My grandmother is, my mother is, but it's like each of them tried to protect her daughters from what they've experienced in their own life, in their own childhood, which made it really unsafe that actually from the child. And I know I was carrying these patterns with my eldest daughter as well. I had to do a lot of work to actually really become aware of that. So we've had a bit of a conversation over these episodes. We have to and fro of emails, and you spoke in your emails about what that does, that lack of safety in the woman that then wants to conceive or becomes a mother, or even as you mentioned, can give birth not necessarily to a child, but actually just give birth to something that she wants to give birth to, an idea or anything, a business. It doesn't matter what we're giving birth to, so, and how that can affect. So we can speak to that a little bit. I think that would be really helpful.
Okay, yeah, gorgeous. It really is. It really is so key in conception, in becoming a mother yourself, to recognize those patterns, to heal them before that, you know, before you even become a mum. But it can really slow down conception because how can I say it? Like everything, like our body can just go into freeze, because if we didn't feel safe as a child, then when you're thinking about having your own child, unconsciously, this is the way our minds work. It's like, well, I didn't feel safe, so will my child be safe? If I didn't feel safe, why would I want to bring a child into the world? The world isn't safe. If my mum didn't make me feel safe, what if I'm like her? You know, all these questions can come up, and it's really questioning yourself as a woman. You're questioning yourself as a mother and potential mother, and you know deep down that you're going to be a beautiful mother, because otherwise you wouldn't be asking the questions. If you're asking those questions, you are not that. But but your inner child, your own baby self, your own child self is going, hang on, I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel safe. So I'm not going to let another child feel how I did. And so it's really beautiful when that healing happens, because then your child, your own child self, your own baby self feels safe. And when they feel safe, you kind of know that your child is going to be safe. And then your body relaxes and it doesn't trigger you. So when we're triggered and in stress, of course, we're not in conception. We're chucking out all the cortisol and the adrenaline and all of those, you know, hormones that are not conducive to conception. So when we can like regulate our nervous system, when we can help ourselves out of the stress because of the triggers we had, because we're feeling the stress of our younger lives, then our body can relax, and then we can, you know, be in the hormones and in the you know, in the right kind of frame to receive our babies. So feeling safe is like a foundation for all aspects of life, I would say, but particularly when we want to birth a new life, even birthing a business, birthing a book, you know, birthing your ideas, because it's like, well, what happened? Am I safe to have them? And what happens with, you know, when we've got lots of wounds around the mother, we find it hard to trust ourselves. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I allowed? Should I? Shouldn't I? You know, we always question ourselves so much. And it's like we can't find, you know, we're still hearing those voices of the past. We're hearing our own mother's voice, but we still have those whispers of the past from our own line as well. So it's really like healing your inner, your little self. So helping your baby self, helping your little self to feel safe. That they're safe being a child now. That was then. This is now. You are the mother, essentially. You are mothering your own self. You're bringing everything that your own mother wasn't able to for whatever reason, and you're filling up the needs of your younger self to feel safe, to feel loved, to feel trust that you're making the right decision, that you will be a really beautiful mom. And not because of you're doing it differently to your own mom, not because you're doing something that the society thinks is the perfect mother. You're doing it because you feel trust in yourself, and you are trusting of what you are birthing and creating, and then trusting your creation, trusting your baby, if that's what you're birthing. Does that make sense? I wasn't sure if I was that clear with that, but it's really feeling safe is key for all of life, I would say. And that starts from really in the womb, in this lifetime, in the womb. We know all that ancestral stuff as well, but in this lifetime, in the womb, it starts in the womb, because we're sentient beings and we feel everything in the womb that our mums were experiencing. And again, that's not to blame the mother. We all, you know, as grown women, we can understand why there might be this, am I able to cope? Do we have enough, you know, all of this, is this the right time? But as a baby in the womb, you can often feel not wanted. You can feel not enough from the get-go. So every bit of work I do, every program, every course, it's going back to the womb is absolutely the very first thing we do, because that's your foundations of safety.
Yes, I was actually about to say that, because to speak to the women that are listening to this and they're like, oh, my children are actually grown up, or I have already had children and I haven't felt safe at all, so have I made irreparable damage to my children because I haven't actually done all the healing that I had to do beforehand? I remember the first conversation we had was actually on that, because my eldest daughter was having trouble with different things in her life, and we came back to actually her birth and the womb time. But you really helped me, because there was you can still heal that story even now. So even if you weren't, and talking to the audience, like even if you haven't done that work beforehand, you are still able to do that now.
Absolutely.
And I remember you helping with that.
Yeah, and it's so powerful for for your children, no matter how old they are. So I have, clients who their children are in their 30s and about to become, they're about to become grandmothers. But then this other stuff comes up because that's the next level of like, oh, the grandmother and, or their daughter's finding it hard to conceive or something. But just to have a personal story, I was, my son was having a few things going on at school, and we don't know what we're projecting. We don't, we do, but we sometimes, most often, we don't, because we're so in that pattern. We're very, it's unconscious, right? So it was before I was birthing this book, and I knew I had to go back to the births of both of my boys, and also the losses. But I was doing this work, just going back into the womb when my son was in the womb, and I could have a conversation with him. I mean, he's at school, he's grown up, so he wasn't in the womb. He's out in the world. But I could talk to the energy of him in the womb, if that makes sense, and find out how he was feeling. And he was feeling all of this sadness. So within my womb was still some grief around the previous losses that, we think that we've looked at and let go of. But he could sense that in the womb, and he, so he was feeling this grief and this loss, and just this, am I supposed to be here? Am I allowed to survive? Am I meant to be here? Or am I going to be lost? That, it was this kind of stuff going on. Anyway, so went through this whole kind of birthing process, and then when I went to pick him up from school, his teacher pulled me aside and said, "Oh, he burst into tears at school today and said that he was missing his sister." And it's the exact, issue that I was looking at in my own self, talking to his baby self. He could feel the healing even though he was at school, and those were his words: "I was missing my sister." So he just burst into tears in the classroom. So that's how powerful it can be. So it doesn't matter how old they are, it's just that when you heal yourself, heal the mother, heal everything around you, everyone around you, it changes relationships with your partners, it changes relationships with your family members, it changes certainly relationships with your children, because you're stepping into your own self, you're healing your own self and letting go of, our children are our greatest teachers before they arrive. When they're here, and like, with your daughter, they show you stuff that's going on. When we look at how we feel about what they're going through and what their behavior is, when we heal ourselves within that, you free them as well. And they don't need to know it. They just feel the energy of it and the shift in what's being put out there. So yeah, it's really beautiful. So it doesn't matter what age your kids are. And as I said, the grandmother's coming to me, and we go back to their daughter's birth, to help then their daughter not continue a pattern. So they have very different, so interesting how many women experience birth the way that they were birthed. And so it's also changing the pattern around that, because then their daughter's birth much more freely. They don't have the same, they're not continuing that pattern. I mean, it's kind of hard to get your head around, but it's incredible to experience. And it really does affect, in the most beautiful ways, the flow for future generations.
It's amazing to think how potent we are, because it's like, it feels like we're at this focal point, and there's like all this generational trauma and the generational wounds that we were talking about with the patriarchy that are coming through the lineage. And obviously, being daughters, we're feeling more the lineage of the mothers. And it's all coming, and it's like it focuses in you. And then on the other side, when you're doing the work and you're doing the healing, you're actually healing for all the generations coming. And I do say that in the podcast all the time. It's like we go with the next 7 generations, but like the ripple effect of how many people that touches is just so incredible. And yeah, that's the power we have. I mean, that's the power you and me have. That's the power every woman listening to this has. It's just incredible. Like, it blows my mind every time I think of that. It's like one of the biggest things that motivated me to start the podcast was like, whoa, we can have such an incredible effect And I've seen it firsthand what you're saying, those experiences with my daughters, absolutely. So I can definitely confirm that.
Yeah, it's astonishing the ripple effect. And just imagine they're not following it through because you've done this. So their partners and then their children, I mean, and then everyone is around them. The ripple effect is astonishing. Yeah.
And it really works even if you don't have any children, because you are going to touch the life of so many people. Whatever is your work, whatever is your community, wherever you are, even if you don't have direct children of your own for whatever reason, which is totally fine, you're still birthing into the world, as we said earlier, and you are still affecting all the generations coming afterwards anyways. So it's important
Absolutely.
nonetheless.
And it is, but you know, if you change how you feel about your own time in the womb and your own birth, you know, there's a lot of you know, the most common beliefs that I see in the womb are, am I wanted? Am I meant to be here? Am I meant to be here is a massive one. It's so common. We, you know, but that might come out in work. Am I meant to be here? Am I in the right job? Am I meant to be here in this relationship? Am I meant, you know, if we you know, have that belief in the womb, then this is gonna, like, you know, we're gonna be in that story in every aspect of our lives. So by going back to your own birth and, you know, holding your own baby self and transforming those beliefs and what they experience, they've already lived all of that up until whatever age you are now. You don't need to continue living it. So a message from Spirit Baby only today was, you need to go back in order to go forward. So it's like healing those wounds of the past so you can birth a new story, a new vision for yourself, and for, you know, and your future and everyone's who's around you. It's super, super powerful.
And so here we're talking a lot about we can end up talking about conception because I know that's also of course part of your work but conception, it's not just one of a baby. So the same patterns we can see when we want to start a family and have a baby, we see it also when we want to start a project. Like it brings up the same sort of triggers when I want to have my child or when I want to start this new business, a podcast, you want to bring your art into the world, for example. You want to, for some people, it can be the simplest things. I know for myself, that am I meant to be here? Am I meant to do this? Am I going to be good enough to do this? Comes up even if I have to go somewhere new, when there's new people, it's a new environment. All that voice comes back. And there is the ancestral lineage, but we also, when you are the daughter of a narcissistic mother, you've had it confirmed. Like our mothers kind of went to town on it, and they just really told us quite, in some cases covertly, in some cases very explicitly, you're not meant to be here, you are a failure, you're broken, and da da da, and you're not going to be able to make it. So we've had that, and we still have that voice on our shoulder, that inner critic that has our mother's voice that speaks. So we were saying when we were chatting earlier that when you conceive or when you're thinking of conceiving, a lot of triggers can come up and a lot of fears can come up. And that can also trigger wanting to terminate, wanting to stop the pregnancy, as well as wanting to stop the project. Like I've been on the edge of not going ahead with this podcast for months, you know. So it's like it's very much a similar journey when you want to birth something as when you want to birth a child and the triggers that can come up. So Deborah, it'd be lovely if you could speak to that.
Yeah, it's really interesting with termination around babies in particular. With and it's a very similar pattern. Obviously, we're all in our own unique experience, but women who are open to getting pregnant, you know, they're with their partner or they're just feeling, yeah, you know, I'm ready. They felt that call to become mum, and then when it happens, there is like they all describe it as like just something. It's like I'm not me. I didn't feel like I was me, and this panic comes in, and then they choose to terminate because there's, oh, it's not the right time. I'm not supposed to. I'm not gonna, you know, this is not what I want. So even though they did were open to choosing that, then it's like they're in another space. And the only way they can get rid of the feelings, because that's what it is, because you're in a massive trigger of, oh my gosh, this is how I felt all my life, because my mother told me I wasn't good enough, I wasn't wanted, I'm not supposed to create, I'm not supposed to do this, I'm not supposed to do that, not trusting myself, not trusting my decisions. And then it's like you're in a trigger, so you aren't yourself, you are making a decision from a traumatized place. And then they think the termination will end that feeling, because the feelings are massive. Like, we want to run away from them, and that's one way of running away from them. Like with the podcast, like with my book, I don't know, it's too much, I'm not doing it, even though it's like in my heart, I know it's going to happen, but I'm just going to, I didn't write for a whole year, I put it off for a whole year, because you're just in that trigger of not trusting yourself, not trusting that you're allowed to live your dreams, not trusting that you're allowed to have something that's yours, and your creation. And then of course after the termination, the feelings don't go away, they increase, because then you've got guilt, shame. Why did I do that? Why did I make that decision? I can't even believe I did that. And there's very little understanding, actually, and of around the emotional traumas. And everyone has their reasons for termination, or release, as the babies call it, because as a spirit baby medium, they have their own perspective on it, and pretty much know what's going to happen. So a lot of them do come in knowing they're not going to stay, purely to kind of dig all of this stuff up for the woman that's hidden, that's buried, that you don't want to look at. So it's massively courageous, but it's so interesting with that trigger, like, and then they come out and it's, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And now I want another baby. Now I'm really ready to be a mum. And what spirit baby say to me, it's like it's kind of part of a preparation to become a mum, because you're healing in those moments of shame, guilt, trauma. What am I doing? What was I thinking? You're healing the mother wound because you're really living it. But it's just really fascinating that if, helping women out of the trigger, so they know that, especially women who have had very difficult relationships with their mothers. Okay, so what does it mean to be a mother for you? And recognizing that they're in a trigger response, and not in a, oh, this really isn't the right time for me, or the right partner, or whatever. It's a trigger, emotional trigger response. But again, if we look on soul level, that is what's going to help them to start looking at their mother wounds, to start looking at their childhood and their relationship with their mother and with themselves. So, it's massively courageous, it's massively healing if you're open to looking at all of the emotions that come up because of it. But yeah, we can really like turn away from our dreams and what we're here to birth, because we're so in the not good enough, not loved, all of that stuff. Yeah.
I love the point you made about them not being themselves. So we're not ourselves when we make those decisions out of a trigger, because trauma is all about disconnection. The moment of trauma, it's a moment of disconnection from your body and from yourself. So when that gets triggered within us, we are going back to that place of disconnection. And so it's like it's a completely different voice that speaks. It's a completely different set of impulses that come into place that, like, literally the nervous system will react to the situation as if you are back to being a baby, a 2-year-old, a toddler, whatnot, when you actually were traumatized, and that's how you react, which has very often nothing to do with the actual circumstances you're in. And so that's a really real thing. Like it's I love how is your take? How do you support to go back into a place of connection? Because ultimately the healing of that trauma is finding back that connection, opening those pathways of connection that we've locked because of the trauma that we've experienced.
Yeah, and it really, disconnection is the word here, because when we're told you're right, oh no, actually you're not right, we can't trust, we're not shown, we're not given an opportunity to trust our own, what risks we take, what choices we make, because whatever choice we make is not right often. So we can't trust our decisions, we can't trust ourselves, kind of lost that. So coming back into connection. So yes, that is the key. And spirit always say there's no such thing as mistrust, it's lack of connection. They say it much more fluently than that, but it's there's no reason not to trust. And when we can't trust, it means we're not in connection. So when we're in connection, then it's much easier to trust. Then trust is innate, it's natural. So heading back to that place of trust. So finding that connection is again just going it, like, where is, like, how I do it is, where is that feeling? What are you feeling? And where in your body are you feeling it? Let's make it nice and tangible, because feelings can feel so intangible. They're so felt, but we can't make sense. But we're not meant to make sense of them, perhaps. But it's like feeling it. Okay, I feel that in my body. Make it tangible. Bring a color to it, so you can observe it. It's easier to observe then, because we are not our emotions. We are not these things. It's like I said at the beginning, who is the woman that's not feeling angry, bitter, twist, da 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 da? I knew I wasn't that woman, but the emotions and the feelings and the thoughts I was thinking all felt like me, but part of me knew they weren't me. So it's like, once you can be in observation mode of them by putting them as a color, as a form, knowing, okay, how much of that is mine? Because we do carry a lot that's not ours, of course, ancestrally and all sorts. And what does it need? What does it need? If there was a color to help lift and lighten that, what color would you bring in? And it's all about, feeling love. So just bringing the color of love, whatever that color is for you, and wrapping that color around that feeling. So we're not trying to avoid anything. We're not trying to say something is wrong. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is broken. Nothing is, nothing needs to be fixed. There are parts of you that are hurting, and those parts of you are so valuable and so precious. And now we're not in that vulnerable child state. It's about recognizing I am the woman who can bring love to that part of me that didn't feel loved. And if that's through color or through sound, like, just make it tangible so you feel that you're wrapping that feeling up in love. It's kind of the quickest, probably most simplest. Keep it simple. I always say keep it simple. And it's like loving those parts of you that feel unlovable.
Because that woman that you were talking about, the one that isn't bitter, the one that isn't angry, the one that isn't, it's actually already a part of you. So you can contact that woman. It's like as a guide already, because she already knows. It's like you inside already know that you can be that, and that's, you already are that actually. Ultimately, you already are, because it all happens at the same time on different layers. But when you contact her, she becomes like a guide, that mothering energy that you were mentioning earlier. And it is, I love the way you said about wrapping that feeling, like with a color or with love, that part that is unlovable. We have a self-love practice that I share. I'll put the link anyways at the bottom of the video. And it is all about wrapping a self-love blanket around you, and to feel loved and to feel safe, and you can give it colors, you can give it patterns, you can put drawing symbols in it, but it just does that. It makes it tangible, it makes it like something that you can really put around you and makes you feel safe.
Yeah, and it's acknowledging those parts, because we know they don't feel comfortable, but acknowledging them from your point of, okay, this is a feeling I'm having, and it's a part that's disconnected, it's a part that's experienced hurt, it's a part that doesn't feel safe. And so you can take that part of you that feels a bit hurt And you can choose now to love her. You can choose to soothe her and reassure her. And yeah, it's, just keep it simple like that. And the power of it, because everything is energy. So an emotion is energy in motion. So when an emotion is stuck, like, I'm being punished, or I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Or if I do that, then something bad will happen. Just go, okay, it's okay. I hear you. I acknowledge that part of me that had that experience. I'm not having it right now. I'm safe now, and I'm safe to hold you and wrap you in that love until you feel safe too. And you can go as deep as you like with that, but just, and go back to memories, and you're helping your little self in the memory, and you shift the energy, and then everything changes. You allow that emotion to run, to feel, and then it eases. So really, it's awareness of your thoughts. What are you telling yourself about yourself? I can't do that because, okay, write that out. I can't do that because, right and right and right and right and right. And you'll get to those beliefs, like, wow, do I really believe that about myself? Is that true? Where is there evidence of that now? It's this self-ex, because you're finding you within all of the trauma that's happened.
Yeah, it's finding yourself actually. That's really key because what happens, and I just want to bring it to having the narcissistic mother, just to keep speaking to that and bring a reminder of that, is that when you're a daughter of a narcissistic mother, what happens is you're developing your identity, developing of yourself, it's stifled, it's blocked. Because if we're seeing trauma as disconnection and disconnection from yourself, and also disconnection from your emotions, when you actually get to the stage that you can feel all of those uncomfortable emotions, I do say to the clients, it's always like you are actually connected. It's uncomfortable as hell, but you are beginning to connect. So for our mothers, us as children were, and I'm speaking for myself and to all the women that relate to having a narcissistic mother, is we triggered those emotions that our mother were so desperately trying not to feel. And so their inner children weren't feeling safe and they had to protect. And they found that way, they developed that strategy, which was blocking, being totally non-feeling any empathy and blocking all of that. So when we triggered, then we got the response, which was some kind of put down, some kind of nasty remark. And that then brought the disconnection within us. And that's how then we can just keep the cycle going. And so going back to what you were saying, just bringing back that connection within ourselves, feeling the uncomfortable emotions, then already is breaking the cycle, already is stopping this from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And numb is still emotion, is still an emotion. Feeling numb is still a feeling. Yeah.
Yes.
And it is that, just I see it as a line of energy. So if you imagine, like, that's the wave of energy you've come in on, that's the wave of energy that you've of what it means to be a mum. Or what it means to be a woman, what it means to be you. And okay, so we might make a decision of, okay, I'm going to do totally the opposite. I'm not going to be like them at all. I'm not going to be like my mother at all. I'm going to be totally different. But actually, you're just still on the same wave of energy. It's just the other extreme of that. So you want to find resolution to that energy. So you are in your own, you're making decisions from your own self, and not because something you didn't like the way something was done. So you'll do it differently. Heal that part that didn't like what was done, and then you'll feel more strong in yourself, that and trusting of yourself, safe to make that decision from yourself, not from this wave of trauma that's come through.
Yes, I love that you brought that in because you were key in me starting my podcast. For those of you listening, I had a conversation with Deborah just about a year and a half ago, I think it was, where you helped me through some challenging moments with your soul plan, the way you do the reading of the soul plan, and I had deconstructed the all the reasons why in my life, everything I've done, I ended up teaching. And because of the trauma, because of having my mother the way she was, and she still is, was that I was always getting into a position of teaching because this was giving me control over the situation, feeling very unsafe, feeling very anxious in any environment. Once I was at the highest rank of the ladder, I was in control. And so I had decided that that was it, that I was not gonna do anything like that anymore. And that's where I took like 2 or 3 years off work, effectively deciding, no, I'm not gonna teach anything. And then you read me my soul plan, and it was like, you're meant to teach. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that plan goes out the window. But I remember that was really key in finding what my identity was and is without the filters that came with the wounds. So I wanna hear, because you do the soul plan reading all the time, so I'm assuming this happens to people all the time, and I wanna hear, because it's quite a shift. We deconstruct, which is quite uncomfortable. There's a lot of shifts happening in that, but then sometimes we get back to having to do the same stuff, but from a completely different angle, effectively, and from different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your teaching, your soul plan was full of teaching energy, and having a message to share and a teaching energy. But your strategy was to teach from the wound, like you said. It was coming from a different, it was coming from a different place, wasn't it? Okay, so now I've experienced that, and this is what I've gained from that and learned from that. Now I can teach it. So it was still coming from a sort of trauma, but it doesn't take away from the fact that you still hold in your soul plan, as in your choice. Okay, I'm here to teach. I'm coming to this earth to share my wisdom. It's just the different way now that you're doing that you are sharing your wisdom. So you're not sharing from the trauma or because of the trauma. You still are talking about that because of your talk, but the energy of it is different. It's more empowered, and there's a lot of leadership. And I was having this issue with the word, but just the word leader and leadership, because it just sounded very patriarchal. It sounded like someone knew more and was in charge more, and it just didn't feel right. And one of the beautiful women in my membership group, because we were like, no, I don't want to be a leader, because it meant that the word just means that. And like, no, it's lead her ship or lead his ship. So you are leading your own ship, and by leading your own ship, you're showing others the way to lead their own ships. So it just changes the kind of energy of it. But now, so it's kind of nuanced, but it's you hold teaching energy, lead her ship energies. It was just the strategy and where you were coming from that made it feel like a burden. But that's how you would that that's all part of your own learning, remembering. And now you're coming from a much more empowered place. It's always that teaching from the teaching, as they say, teaching from the scar, not the wound. It's just you're in your empowered lead her ship now, not as, okay, a control, I need to do that because I've been through it and I can share. And with that more control, it's just more natural, because it is your natural soul energy is to share your wisdom and to show up and teach. And yeah, I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, thanks. I remember at the time going, oh no, here we go again.
I know, because we're all living our soul plan already, and we're just we're either not conscious of it or we want to avoid it. The heart of my soul plan is Divine Mother, and I didn't have maternal energies. Or I those maternal energies needed to be awakened, and in the most traumatic way and dramatic way of, wow, is this what it means to be a mother? Mother is loss, mother is suffering, all of those things. So, as you say, deconstructing all of that. But it took the trauma of loss, and not being a mother, and than being a mother and all that that brings. But it was all that as my soul plan to open me to that energy of the mother, the you know, that divine mother, which is just unconditional love and just holding people in that love. I needed to awaken that myself, and you know, that's the way my soul, not my human self for sure, but my soul self chose for me to awaken that within my own soul energy. So we're all aware of our, we're all living it, we're all aware of it, but a soul plan just kind of brings that to more to the forefront. So you're like, oh, that's my purpose, that's who I am. Okay, now I feel less like life is happening to me, but I have a purpose, I have meaning. I did choose to be here after all, because I could have chosen to leave. You know, there's it just brings that more, again, that more empowered kind of purpose, and meaning. I am meant to be here after all. So if I'm meant to be here, I'm going to find out what I'm here for. And it just changes that whole dynamic. And the same, you know, with a nurse, you know, if you've grown up with a narcissistic mother, it's you can't, it's hard to find your own meaning. It's hard to find your purpose or what you're even doing here. So, you know, knowing that you have soul choices and you hold a frequency in your soul plan that has qualities of, like for you, leadership, sharing wisdom, teaching, like for me, the mother energy. You know, we all have these incredible gifts and purpose of being here, and we can forget that, of course, because we're never shown it, we're never, it's suppressed, it's, you know, all sorts of things. So it just brings you to the forefront, you know, the real you, the frequency you.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. As you were speaking, a question came to mind, because it's something I get asked quite often. So I'd love to hear your take on that. So, as daughters of narcissistic mother does not show you any unconditional love. Her love, by definition, is conditional because it's all about her own system and soothing her own nervous system. So it has nothing to do with the object of the love. There, it's not even to say that there isn't love there. Because of course there is, but it's like really buried under a lot of layers. So it is very conditional what comes. And so when we say get in contact with the mother in you, the nourishing energy, that unconditional love within you, a lot of women answer, and I was actually in that group at the beginning of my journey, was like, I don't know how that feels. I have no idea how to connect. Do I even have that in me? Sometimes that's the question I get. It's like, do I even have that? Because I so was not shown that where can I find it or how do I work with it? So I want to hear your take on that.
Yeah, we all have it. Men and women have it, because we, of course, from the mother, we're from our physical mothers, but we're from the co you know, the cosmic. But nothing's birthed without the energy of mother, and so we all have it. So accessing it, that's the difference. So we're all going to choose different ways of accessing that. Now, I can't remember what I was going to say about that, but it was quite clever and it's totally gone out of my head. Ask me the question again. So how do we know that we've got it?
I suppose, how can you access that unconditional love, mother energy, when you haven't, when no one showed it to you ever? You don't even think you can, you have it there.
So I would say start small. You know, is there a pet? Is there a beautiful flower? Is there something that you wish to nurture? And if there's not, and you can't find any nurturing energy within you, that's also totally fine. Just like, oh, I'm just really curious that I haven't got that nurturing. Don't make yourself wrong for not feeling that energy. That's the biggest thing, because it's not wrong to not feel it. It's there. You're just not accessing it right now for obvious reasons. Be kind, be curious. It's don't make yourself wrong. I would say that's the biggest thing. Don't make yourself wrong for not feeling or believing that it's part of you. That's okay. So just be in that. Ah, do you know what? I'm just not able to access it. I'm not able to even think I have it. And do you know what? That's okay for now. That really is okay. I'm open to it at some point. So you're not giving yourself a hard time. Just don't make yourself wrong for it. Is there something you nurture? Is there a lovely cream that you'd like to put on your skin, for example? Is there just something that might bring out that nurturing side of you? Because that's really what that energy is nurturing. So in what ways do you nurture yourself and start small and don't make yourself wrong if you're not feeling it? I was going to tune in for a message because I feel like because I'm a child, so I've just asked Divine Mother, what's the answer to that? And the reply was instantly, I am here, ask me. Okay, so you can also ask the energy of Mother to help you, to support you. So you are always nurtured, but we're just not used to it, or it's not safe to receive it. So I've just asked that question from Spirit, and Spirit said, I am always here. So Divine Mother, unconditional love, I am always here. So ask, just ask for help. That's what she's just said. Ask, just ask, I'm always here. So, to open you slowly if you wish, to feeling more of that mother energy within you. And I also find journaling on the word mother, because the word mother is so triggering. So triggering. So, journal on that. What does the word mother mean to me? And it's really amazing what's in your subconscious about that. So it just keep going with that. And I had one client who it was like, oh, Mother Superior. She went to a Catholic school when it was really, and it was the and the Mother Superior was very far from the mother energy and created so much trauma. So that's all she could think about. That's how she associated mother. So, there's a lot. So just being, oh, the word mother, it's just a word, but it's the energy we put around it. So what does it mean for you? And just journal that out. What does it mean? It's being curious and accepting of everything that you're feeling.
Yes, being curious and you are never wrong. That is like for not feeling it in the moment. That is like the most potent message. I do remember as a teenager actually spending a lot of time by myself writing the word mother in Italian. And like for me, that was what I didn't have. It was like it was tears every single time I wrote that down. I could just literally fill a page with the word because it was just the thing I wanted the most and the thing I didn't have. I knew it was more than what I had in my physical mother, but I didn't know how to reach that because I thought the filter had to be my mother. And that's beautiful. So we haven't received that mother energy from our mothers. And we think that that's the funnel, that's the filter, we need, that's the source of it, but it's so not. And what helped me in the times when I thought I didn't have it, as you mentioned, the Divine Mother message, I'm here, was thinking about it as something that for the moment was outside of myself because I couldn't find it inside, but it was like Mother Earth, or it was like this goddess energy, this that was literally hugging me from, I remember from behind, it was like a cloak, but it was like a woman that would come and hug, and that was really soothing. And then from there, the opening came for actually, yeah, that is actually part of me, that is actually within me, but it is a journey. And so, yeah, don't get discouraged if at the beginning you don't feel it. As we mentioned, as Deborah mentioned, numbness to a feeling is actually already a feeling. You're already being aware that you're numb to that and you can't access it at the moment. That doesn't mean that's just going to be like that all the time.
Yeah, and I love that you felt that hug, because again, just keep it simple in that way. And as Divine Mother's just said, ask me, I'm always here, ask, and imagine that hug energy. And again, mother has been made really small. You either are or you aren't. It's divisive. You have or you haven't. And that is not the energy of mother. The true expression of mother is the entire universe, cosmos, because everything is there. the mother energy. So it's like expanding, it's the Ma energy. So, everything is expanding from the Ma energy, not just the small word and sense that, again, patriarchy has put on with all the pressures and societal judgments that comes as well. So really, yeah, not making yourself wrong. Asking Divine Mother to wrap you in her love as a starting point.
We have really spoken to a lot, and we went full cycle. We went from like the beginning and like the disconnection and not feeling and feeling not enough and feeling not being meant to be here, all the way to like connecting to this beautiful divine nurturing unconditional love that the mother has, that it's actually everything around us, it's in us, it's in men, it's in women, it's in everything. And it's so available, and it's so available all the time. So at this point, I just want to say, if you have anything else that is coming through that you, I feel like this episode has really covered a lot. There's a lot that people can take, and I love that. And so I'm really super grateful for that, for you being here. But if there's something else that you feel we haven't covered that you want to bring in,
I know, I think that's absolutely beautiful. And you're just saying that that mother energy is everywhere. It really is in this conversation. I can feel it all around me. So anyone listening, just feel that energy of mother. It's that, it's beaming from me, but it's beaming from you, Matilda, but it's all around. So just kind of play with that a little bit. Is it? Do I deserve it? But just allow the energy. Don't try, don't do, just maybe it's there. And just feel this massive hug. That's all I want to say. Feel this massive, massive hug. Few courageous women who are changing the world. I would go that, I know that sounds like really huge and dramatic, but really, if you are healing yourself, if you are open to receiving yourself and birthing yourself, the ripples in the world are huge, 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 huge. So I'm so grateful for you all. You're hugely courageous, and I'm sending lots of love. Thank you. And thank you, Matilda, for having me on here.
Thank you for coming on. I want to add to that actually that yeah, and you're not also, you don't have to do this alone. It's really important actually to remember that as there are so many women that are open enough to connecting to the mother energy, and it can be quite a lonely journey if you think you have to do it all on your own. And it doesn't have to be like that. There's plenty of support out there. You, Deborah, with your beautiful work. Me with my work, and like us, there's like a lot of amazing women that actually work with this and offer support. So, and I know that for when you've had a narcissistic mother, part of the wounding is like really, really hard to trust other women. And actually, we try to do it by ourselves, because to open up vulnerably with other women brings back opening up with our mothers, which was not a good idea. So I just want to put that there at the end, because it's really available. You deserve the support. There's nothing wrong in asking for support, and it can really help the process. Like, it can make it is always going to be challenging. But it can be like in the challenging times, having that support can really make it more profound and easier.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not alone, and especially when there's like-minded women. And again, it all comes down to feeling safe, doesn't it? It's like, okay. And when you have been in even one circle or with one woman or one, or working with you, working with me, and you felt safe in that space, okay, there's evidence that I can be safe sharing this. There's a, just small steps of evidence to give you new evidence to what you've grown up with.
Fantastic. I love that. Beautiful ending to this episode, which was profound and amazing. I loved every bit of it. So I am going to have all the links in the description of the podcast episode. So if any of you wants to contact Debra or know more about her work, there's going to be her website and all the places where you can find her and access all her beautiful services. And then obviously there's going to be the links to Reclaim Your Fullness Women Circle and all that you can find with women reclaiming their fullness. So with that, I'm gonna say thank you to Debra. Big thank you from my heart. I loved having you here again as a guest. That was wonderful. And thank you all for being here, for listening, for doing the work, for showing up. You're brave, you're courageous, you're lovable. You are amazing women. And yeah, keep doing it. Keep up the good work. So bye, everyone.